Our Father, we pray that you will teach us how we can pray for our brethren overseas. We think of Myanmar and India and Kenya, and we think of how we are connected with them, to them. We pray that you will help us to remember them in the hour of need, help us do our part in caring for them. We pray for your blessings to alleviate this hunger problem that is there, staring at them in famine. We pray that you'll help us to be concerned for them as we celebrate our Lunar New Year. We pray for your grace and your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, now we'll look at the next two segments. Right? Now, this is a prayer that is, that's interesting. So the first part of it is the beginning. The first eight verses, the beginning, to look at how he wanted to journal. So far, I don't have anybody who is going to be who take up the challenge of journaling. Interestingly, people outside our class, but listening in, want to take it up. And you know, where we are not taking it up as we should, we think about it. So he desires to, I really want to, with my whole heart, I have sought you, and he wants to begin trying, right? So the first work is that of cleansing. That's the first work. Now, there becomes the second part of it, beginning from verse 17 to 24. Now, this is important for us. Okay, now. This is a, this kind of prayer is prayers that we probably make in Singapore and among the more well-off ones. Because over in India and in Myanmar and in Kenya, this prayer, deal bountifully, is not a prayer that they would make very often. Because we're so used to bountifully. The idea of being blessed, bountiful, so much so that if we don't, we are not abounding, we don't have bountiful, we are sunk. Right? I mean, this is something that we need to think about. So this is, will give you an idea of where this person is coming from. So this psalmist, this author is not your poor person. He's used to a certain standard of life. That's why he prays, deal bountifully with your servant. All right? So that we may live and keep your word. Most of us, when we pray for our daily bread, we are not looking at the roti man coming to your house, that kind of plain white bread. We are looking at bread sold at the Paragon, where one loaf of bread is $25, $30. And you really wonder, how do you afford? This is where you make this bread, deal bountifully, because normally we'll buy, people don't even buy gardenia. I mean, okay, they'll be at a very cheap level. There are bread swap shops over at Toa Payoh. The Toa Payoh shops there, they're still baking bread, you know, and you see loaves and loaves of bread. They are cheap bread. I still remember how once I asked the person, why the bread slices are so thick, right? So I asked the person, you know, if I were to cut bread, this is too thick for me. Can you cut it by half? And the person looked at me. He said, you know how expensive it is to put butter and kaya on the bread. So now one piece, only one spread. Two pieces, two spreads, more costly, suddenly realize what it means. Because you can't afford two spreads, just one. So as thick as possible, one spread, save money. This is not the prayer. So when you look at this thing here, deal bountifully, we must look at croissant. And what kind it is. And then you have to have the right feelings. Otherwise, you won't be able to find. You have to find the right thing. So this is a servant. Deal bountifully with your servant. Kind of a bit of a mixed different, right? First, if I'm a servant, why am I asking for bounty? I mean, seriously, we cut off a little bit. But he really wants to serve, but he thinks if I were to serve and then I, what if I don't have enough? And that becomes a little bit of a problem. It's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek kind of a thing here, right? So we want to just bear this in mind that this is where he is, right? Watched, however, it will change along the way as he begins to pray. Now watch this very carefully, bit by bit, all right? So he needs to ask, why does he ask to pray? Why is he praying, deal bountifully? Right? Part of it has to do with the circumstances that he's in. Part of it has to do with who he is and where he is in the stations of life. Right? So he says, that I may live and keep your words. Now, what's happening here? Watch this very carefully. Okay? Verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. That's the first problem. Right? Suddenly, because this is going to happen, when you suddenly tell all your friends, you know, I want to live differently now. There's going to be a change in my life. I want to be more conscious about being holy. I want to follow the Lord and His word and all that. Watch what happens. You're going to be cut off. Right? That's what he's experiencing, actually. Because this person thinks that he wants to be, and he realizes that suddenly I'm now a stranger to a lot of people. Right? And this becomes a really big problem. So I still remember the story, the testimony of a friend of mine called Tom Hamlin, and this guy who used to be with the Anzuk forces in stationed in Singapore, and he, you know, typical British soldier, and smoking, drinking, swearing, and doing all kinds of nonsense, smoking like a chimney and all that. And in one day, he came to faith in the Lord, and he was at home, and his father told him, kick a chair to him, and he said, "Now we need another partner." And so they were gambling, they were playing cards and things like that. His house was a part-time gambling den. So that was his home environment. Smoking, you cannot see. It's constant haze all the time because everybody's smoking, drinking, cursing, swearing, gambling away. And he had now come to faith in the Lord, and he told his father, he says, "No, I'm not sitting. I'm not playing. I'm not gambling anymore." And the father looked at him and he says, "You had a bad day?" He says, "No, I'm not going to gamble ever again. Also, no smoking, no drinking, I'm out." The father yelled at him that he was a disgrace, that he was a wimp, that he was a was, what you name it. All kinds of bad language came out. I'm just choosing the nicer ones. And it was a really bad situation, but he said, "I had to take it." Right, so there he was, and he ended up as a camp. He ended up as an army cook. That's it. All he had, you know, not educated, not anything. So he was actually an army cook, and he traveled with the army wherever it sent him. And he was stationed in Singapore, and he was an army cook. But over all weekends, he was very deeply committed to sharing his faith in churches. Wherever people will open the doors, he will talk about how he came to believe in the Lord Jesus. And he was a stranger to his own people because they look at him very strangely. "What are you doing? You are a Britisher, you are an army person, you are with the Anzuk forces and so on and so forth, and here you are talking about faith in God and all that." He's not a pastor or a preacher or evangelist of any kind. And suddenly he really felt that, "No, this is me. I am like a stranger." Stranger to his own family, stranger to his... And bit by bit, he says, it was a very hard time, but he stuck to it. Stranger. So that's the circumstances. Secondly, look at this. And he went on to talk about here, "You rebuke the proud, the curse, who stray from your commandments." So there is your difference. Right? Now, that's your difference. Because there are people who will, they are very proud and they are going to curse at you. But they are the ones who are cursed of the Lord. But they have strayed from the commandments. And suddenly they realize that this person who used to be a friend is now no longer in that company. This person is now standing up for his faith in the Lord. And that was where he cried out, deal bountifully with your servant. So he's going through actually a lot of suffering already. One, he's become a stranger. That's why the psalmist says, I'm a stranger to my own family. Right? So this is one part of it. And then there we go, the proud. They're the ones who look at you and despise you for whatever it is that you have done. In this case here, even though it's not a bad thing that you have done, even if you do a good thing, the people whom you use to run around with will be the people who will come and attack you. And that's a very sad reality. And then there we go. So he prays. The second prayer part of it is, remove from me reproach and contempt. Now that is what happened. You know, those of his old friends, they now hold him in contempt. Right? They hold and reproach him. And so princes also sit and speak against me. So now the friends that he has, the people he mixes with, suddenly change. And you begin to realize, usually it's like that. If you are a very, very significant person and you say that you are a believer, right? So, you will find that people won't say very much because you are somebody in society, right? Think about these things here. But if you are not really somebody there, and then you declare your faith, the people will look at you and suddenly their attitude towards you, their opinion towards you, every single thing will now become different, they become hostile, they become, there we go. So princes, so this would be why princes speak against me, because this were his friends. Once upon a time, princes speak against you. Once upon a time, they were your friends, right? And suddenly, now because you really want to, going back to, I want to really seek you. Now, a lot of people are not ready for all of these things here, right? Sometimes when you want to become a Christian and, people sort of in polite circles, elite circles, they sort of, okay, you know, leave him alone and things like that. But sometimes things can turn around quite differently and they can despise you, dishonor you, reproach you, take up things against you and so on and so forth. And that can happen. This is exactly what happened. Therefore, along these lines, he prays, deal bountifully with your servant. In other words, they are going to watch. So you think you are going to walk this way? You think you will succeed? I mean, in Singapore, we have a new company, Chicken Fillet. Have you heard of Chicken Fillet? Yeah, Chicken Field. Yeah, well, Chick Field. Basically, it's a KFC group. You know, but they are a Christian outfit. One, they will not open on a Sunday, no matter what. Two, they want all those workers with them who are Christian to go and serve the Lord. Go ahead, you serve the Lord and you do your part. Three, they want all the managers to be able to sweep the floor. They want them to be able, and they want it. He said, we want your Christian character, behavior to affect the way you serve. We're just watching and see. So far, we have got good reports about them. Let's hope they keep up. But over in the U.S., they have become a household name. Right? So it's a Southern fried chicken kind of thing here. If you like fried stuff, you like Southern fried, then it might be not. But if you don't like it, it's okay. Don't worry about it. But this is a very, this is an interesting thing. So are there groups of people who are like that? Yes. Right? So now there was another speakers, where they're called influencers, but they were people who were speakers, and they are inspirational speakers. In the past, they call them inspirational speakers. And so this guy came along, and he commands huge fees. So 1 weekend fees, when you are going to hire him in the U.S., 1 weekend fees is in six figures. So he inspirational speakers over the one retreat, 1 weekend, you're going to pay him six figures. Otherwise, you can't book him. And so he became a Christian, and there was a big issue. So someone told him, listen, in this circuit, if you tell people you're a Christian, you're a dead duck. Nobody is going to hire you. And he says, thank you, disagree. I cannot but speak as a Christian now. My faith is too real. God is too precious to me. And I am not going but to speak as a person who is a believer. I don't hedge. I am going to tell them what my faith means to be and all that. So 6 months later, his friends ask him, how's business? He says, well, I'm booked for the next 3 years and my business is booming. You mean, suffered nothing? Nope. My prayer, deal bountifully with your servant. You see, so some circumstances in life are such that you can ask, Lord, help me to, you know, help me, bless, so that you deal bountifully with me. So that people who reproach, people who hold me in contempt, people who look at me and despise me because of my faith cannot say anything. Why? Look at how the Lord has blessed. So this is a valid prayer. Right? Now this is very important. You're not trying to pray for bountifulness just for the sake of being rich. Right? This is a part of his testimony. I hope you understand the context in which this prayer is made, right? So he's saying, no, these are my circumstances. Once upon a time, they were friends. Now I'm a stranger to these people. Once upon a time, princes were my friends. Look at them. They are now sitting and speaking against me. Now, usually princes don't even know you exist unless you are in their circle. All right, now suddenly you are no longer with them. And then that's what it is. And this is what we can see right now with the Epstein files coming up. You're going to be see a lot of red faces, a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties here. And most of these people are really powerful, rich people on there who think that they cannot be held into account for anything. And then suddenly come payback time and they begin to realize that's not true. And suddenly people begin to resign from wherever they are because they don't want to be dug further. They don't want to be known further. And so this is what it is. But this is not. This is the other way. The other one is this one is no longer running with all the rest. This person is now standing for the word, standing for his faith, standing for his God. He really, really wants to. But can he pray, Lord, deal bountifully with your servant? Can. Yes. In other words, do we need always to suffer for all our faith? A lot of people are afraid of suffering for their faith. If I say I'm a Christian, will I lose custom? Will I lose my clients? Will I lose? What will I have? And so this guy, this speaker, motivational speaker, began. He says, "No, the first thing I tell people, this is where I am." And this is important when you have people who are there and they are very famous when they do these things here, then that's what it is, right? So when you have people who are like this and they are people of stature, people who are wealthy, people who are powerful, when they make a statement that they are going to become believers, then a lot of people sit up and say, you know, maybe there's something to it, right? But can he make this prayer? This is what he did. He made this prayer in the light of the circumstances he's in. Can we make this prayer? Deal bountifully with your servant. Answer, yes. Right? Now, what is really needed is in verse 18. is open my eyes that I may see. Because when you navigate, you know, this is A, past company, powerful, rich, wealthy friends. And usually when they go together, they trade together, work together, do business together, go out together, you know, they form a little coterie, a little group of influential friends together. And then suddenly you stand out, different from all the rest. What are you doing? He says, I'm sorry, I'm going to spend time reading the scriptures. I want to follow God. I want to do. And suddenly you feel you're cut off. So when you tell people you really want to follow the Lord and read the scriptures, people will ask you, what are you reading? What are you learning? Well, that is so wonderful. That is so precious. And he realized he can't say very much until he makes this prayer. Open my eyes. Right? So if you are going to give up company A, you're going to B. What's so wonderful about B? And he realized he's now in B. Right? So, but if you are in B and you are actually still thinking thoughts of A, your heart is still there. You still can't see a lot of things. So what he really wanted to do was, Lord, open my eyes so that I can see things differently now. I can read your law and the word of God opens up and, you know, I can understand better now. That otherwise, the transition from A to B is a useless transition. Right? I hope you understand. So that if I'm giving up something, A, my friends, my wealth, my business, whatever, I maybe suffer potential loss. So I'm going into B. This time I want to, remember, he says, I want to seek you with my whole heart. I want to follow you. I want to read further. What am I looking for? When it comes to spiritual matters, unless God opens your eyes, you can't see. You can read, you cannot understand. You just can't. And that is the important thing for us to take note of. Right? So he says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Because you are in a different company now. You're no longer in company A, princes and all that. You're now in company B. You are a stranger to a lot of people. Right? So he prays, number one, Lord, deal bountifully with me. You know, this is important. I need you to help me because if I lose everything, I'm going to be a total loss, wipe out. But it doesn't have to be a wipeout. I can still succeed. Can I make this prayer to deal bountifully with your servant? Then I may live. Right? So because if I'm going to be scrambling for this and for that, it becomes a really big problem. Right? Now this is important. Now you have William Carey as an example for a person who was there. When he went to India and, you know, the people who were there were supposed to support him. They were not able to sustain their support, and there was a very big problem. Right? The big problem was that there was lacking in support. There were missionaries, but the support was just somehow lacking. And then God suddenly opened a way for him because he had a very special skill in languages. And he was able to speak more Indian languages than the Indian people. I mean, he can read and write fluently 40 different Indian dialects. That's amazing. That is what we call the gift. And what we call the gift of tongues. You know, if we want to. It's a gift of languages. And the local government and the British government recognized him and said, look, we are going to set up an Indian college. And we are going to train all of the people we're sending over into India because they were ruling India at that point of time. But we want them all to go to this college where we can equip them, teach them how to live in India, how to survive, how to, and so on and so forth. And so they said to him, we want you to come and become one of the professors. So he wrote back honestly and he says, you are asking me to be a professor. Can I write to you and tell you that I don't even have an O-levels? I am not even a university graduate. How can I be a professor when I am not equipped academically? He says, well, the answer came back. We have a lot of PhDs that they don't know 50% of what you know. We are going to make you a professor in the college, and we will pay you according to what we're going to pay all the other professors. You are second to none. And so William Carey, missionary to India, became a professor. And because he had a big, he had a very huge salary right now, so he ended up using his funds to support missionaries. So he told the people from here onwards, next time you want to send missionaries over to India, make sure they are well-qualified people. They know how to survive. And if there is no support, they know how to live among the local people there. And that is something that's very important. Deal bountifully is not a wrong prayer, right? It's not a selfish prayer. When you ask the Lord to bless the work that you do, your business, it's not wrong. But remember, you have to be sure that your heart is right. You are doing the right things here. And so he says, I want to still pursue the Lord's word, but open my eyes. So that when people look at you and they talk to you and they realize that having given up that company, having given up the kind of pursuit in the past of material worldly goods, you have changed for something else. It is a better deal. It is a better alternative. That is point B. That's where we can open my eyes. Right? Now, we're going to look at what he says with my whole heart in verse 10. Right? Let's look at whole heart, what that means. Okay? Verse 20 is the answer to that. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. This is how he looks at it. My whole heart. There is a longing. And this is important. What makes a person learn? What makes a person really want to learn? And that is a big, big thing here. And, in the past, I used to, when I go to India, I would also end up teaching at local Bible schools. They would ask me, can you come over, since you are here, can you come over to our Bible school? We'd like you to lecture to our people there. I had that as well, India. I went to Myanmar, did the same thing, went over to Korea. So I would function as a visiting lecturer to the people there. And sometimes people ask me, how do you feel? What do you think about our thing here? There was one particular Indian principal who came to me. He says, how would you assess my students? I say, you want a straight answer or you want me to say it nicely? He says, tell me, frankly, candidly. I said to him, well, 50% of your students are spiritually dead. They have no desire to learn. They do not long for God's judgment. They have no desire to learn. He looked at me, smiled, and he says, you are wrong. I said, well, tell me why I'm wrong. He says, it's not 50%, it's 80%. So I ask him, then why you want to open Bible school for? What for? He says, everybody wants an education. It's good money. Right? So I advertise overseas. Anybody wants it. We take in anybody, you know. First, there are sponsorship, so we have a lot of sponsors. Two, we collect fees. And the teachers who are teach there, they're not paid very much. So he says, it's very lucrative. That's his reason why these things are there. And good night. I mean, this is sad to see this, right? And one of the hardest people to learn seriously, if I find an audience teaching, one of the hardest audiences would be people who are train in Bible school. Somewhere along the line, they stop learning. Right? You just think about it. And you are, you, I mean, if you go to any symposium, you go to any seminar and things like that. The people who learn, who people who are not learning, they are already... So you have a medical conference. Most of the medical doctors don't go there to learn. They go down there and do sightseeing. They don't learn. We stop learning. That's true for almost anything. When people go and send out, send seminar, they actually, it's a good break from work. It's a good, you know, I enjoy myself, things like that. And they all sponsored. And that's it. But desire to learn, longing to learn, is just not there. This is one of the greatest nightmares that I find in among pastors. They stop learning. This is something that I'm always puzzling over. How do we get people to want to learn all of them? And this is very important. So as a teacher, I have to teach things that I would know. I must know they would never be able to come to this understanding unless somebody teaches them. So I have to open up new things, open up thoughts that nobody has ever thought of before. Study things that people will look, hey, you know what? That's new to me. Unless it is new, nobody learns. You say the same old thing. Okay, that's your approach. I've got mine. Nobody learns. Nobody wants to. That becomes a real danger. Right? And so he says, with my whole heart, I have sought you. That's a good place to start. Let's move on further. Can you say, my soul breaks with longing? And this is important. So when we think about what it means, then we have to ask ourselves how this actually works. Can we actually have these things here? And the answer must be yes. Now we go on further too quickly. Right? Then verse 23, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. And that is how it should be. Right? It starts off with, I don't know, I want to know. The first 8 verses. Goes on to, I need to be cleansed before I can even touch your word. Right? So now, I want to seek you with the whole heart. I must therefore have a heart that really longs to understand. That's the key to learning. You long to know. Your soul longs to know judgment. And that's where the perception, that's where the understanding comes. That's where the Lord opens the eyes. Sometimes the Lord has to look at our hearts and to see whether we are actually ready to learn. And when we are not ready to learn, nothing is going to happen. We are just going to learn in a very lackadaisical way, and it's not going to go very far, right? So you've got to be able to say, I am going to meditate on your statutes, and they are my delights and my counselors. I think this is something that we want to understand and appreciate. It can be a really great source of joy to our hearts on this matter here. Okay, now we move on to the next part of it, right? So there are times when the things in life are very difficult. And here we go, he says, my soul clings to the dust. There are bad days. Now, this is one of those days. My soul clings to the dust. Right? So there he is. And he goes to verse 28. My soul melts from heaviness. Right? This is very important for us to understand here. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments have laid before me. All right. So now this is what he is going to... What is he going through? It's another set of difficulties. Right? The difficulties are in the circumstances of life. Remember, he's a stranger. 2, princes are against him. 3, life is hard. Right? So then he clings to the Lord's word and he asks, well, will things change for the better immediately? Maybe not immediately, but here we go. My soul clings to the dust. And so there are times when he just feels, what am I doing? How am I going to go get out of these things here? How am I going to overcome these things here? And there are times when you feel that the soul clings to the dust, right? And in verse 28, the sense of heaviness that is there, right? But this is important. This, the old ways sometimes, even if you want to get out of those things here, they are not easy things to get out of. Right? So there are all kinds of challenges, all kinds of difficulties. And, you know, you talk about how it, and so he makes another set of prayers. Keyword, revive me according to your word. Right? And this is where we need. And sometimes in life, when we go through a rough patch and we need to ask ourselves how we can get out of it. And one key word, one key prayer, pray for that revival. And we all need that revival from time to time. You know, we just need a second wind. Otherwise, you come to a certain stage of life and then you feel you're tired, you're worn out. And it could be something physical. I mean, it could be something that you don't think that it's, you know, you just feel that you just need to be revived all over again. Last Friday, I dropped something in my car. I bent over to pick it up, and mistake. I shouldn't have bent. And suddenly, I was stiff all over. So last Sunday, when I was standing here, I was actually stiff like a board. And it was very difficult. So I had to go and see my doctors, and it would happen to be a Monday. And I had to cross a road, you know, when you cross a road, they're telling you 15 seconds. You think 15 seconds is like a very long time. Eh? When you are well, you're normal, 15 seconds is a long time. When you have to walk, suddenly you feel like you're an old man. You know? I've never felt like an old man before. But, you know, this is where it is. And then when you try to get up, and then the nurses come to help you. They say, sir, you just take your time slowly. Don't worry. That's when you really started to feel old, you know. So the person, I was having a heart scan. I didn't know what a heart scan was until they say, oh, this one, we're going to inject you. I said, I was going there with running shoes, old-fashioned way of doing it. He said, no need. You're just comfortable. We'll just give, we'll do all the things with you. That's all right. So I was, not because I had a stiff back. They didn't know I had a stiff back. So I was trying to get up and then a little bit wobbly. Straight away, the nurse came, hey, sir, uncle, just sit down. Don't worry. No, take slowly. What? It makes things worse. So I really felt bad about the whole thing. So when I cross a road, I will tell them, now I understand why some older people, when they cross a road, they hold their hand. Now I also did the same thing. And sometimes you just need to pray, Lord, revive me. Really, revive me. So I had to go and sit down. And so every day now exercise from my seat, get up, you know, get up, just try to get up and down, which I thought it was nothing. Oh, now it's not nothing. Oh, we're going to stretch up and things like that, all sorts of things. Ah, oh, Lord, revive me. Well, this is the physical part of it. So am I all right now? Yes, but I, you know, for a while, for the first few days in the week, I really missed my early morning jog. So better don't enjoy it, otherwise it becomes worse. So I can go back to it now, and this is very important. So what do we look for? Revive me. What are we looking at? Spiritual revival is important. So there we go. So you tell the Lord, Lord, I want to tell you, I declare my ways to you. You answer me. So what does he want? What are you looking for? Now this is very important. So I say to all the, what do you want to learn? Seriously, what do you want to know? What do you want to learn? Teach me. Make me understand. Right? Now, this is very important. Remove from me. Well, this is, grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. You know, I cling to you. This is very important for us. So sometimes when we come to the Lord, his word, and we say to the Lord, okay, here's where I am. Right? One, I recognize you have commanded us to keep your word. I have not. I want to do it now. I start now. All right. I start later, but I'm going to start. Right? Once upon a time, my friends were princes, rich people, powerful people. Now I've chosen this way. They become my no longer friends with me. I'm a stranger here now. This is where I am. All right. So what do I want to do? So I want to be very open with, I declare my ways to you. I've lost friends, I've lost things. Please deal bountifully. with me. Help me with my work so that I don't have to end up, people despise me even more. Can I make that prayer? Answer, yes. Can God bless? Yes. But what is the deep down desire in your heart? And he expresses it very clearly. One, I want to be revived and I want to learn. Teach me. And if I'm not learning, make me. Whoa, that's serious. See, most of us learn leisurely. Few of us want to say, make me. Make me learn. Right? So I'm trying to teach the younger disciples, and I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to send you an assignment, read. So I'm going to read alongside with you. In 1 week, we will finish reading the Gospel of Mark, 16 chapters. Okay, so now let's try and see what we can do. And can we first read and then understand this? The four things that I want them from. One, input. Two, be instructed. Three, be inspired. Four, let the truth of God be instilled inside your heart. That's learning for me. Four eyes. Four eyes as in, we used to say, put on your specs. Four eyes. But think about this, right? We don't have enough input. How to learn? We don't have enough instruction. Where are we going to go? Right now, this was something that was a great challenge to me. There was learning and relearning a lot of things along the way. And so desire to ask the Lord to teach, to make, and then you tell the Lord, Lord, strengthen me, right? According to your word, and grant me your law graciously. And so he goes back to, I have chosen the way of truth, which is what he said. I will do this when I learn, and I want to learn, and this is important, right? And so he says, I will do this. I will run the course of your commandments. You shall enlarge my heart. Right? Now, this is exciting. Well, next Sunday, we have our ACM, and there will be some changes to be made along the way, and some exciting things developing coming up for the next few years. And I think this is important. So some people are asking, you're so old, you still want to plan for new things. What do you mean so old? What do you mean stop planning? We mustn't stop planning. The moment you stop planning, you really will be an old man. And so stop, just give me a second. I'll be all right. So I went home on practice. So that when I can get up on my feet, I don't need somebody. So one of the nurses there, she asked me, what are you doing? I said, I work in the church. He says, what are you? I said, are you a priest or a pastor? So I'm a pastor. He says, so I said, here I am, so old, and I'm still, and this something very unusual. This young lady, says, sir, don't say that. You know, the most important thing is you are young in the heart. And she put her hand onto my heart. Nobody in Bethany in his right mind will try to do that. But here is a total stranger. Doesn't know me, of course, obviously. Did that, I thought it was just hilarious. And think about these things here. Think about these things here. And so sometimes the Lord sends revival in a funny way. So I have learned how to go into Spotify. Would you believe it? So I'm learning new stuff. And so during the time when I was in the hospital, 6 hours for a heart scan, what do you do? Right? So they listen to the hallelujah chorus until I can sing it by heart. Again and again, and hear the Lord's Prayer being sung until you're moved by it. You know, and this is all part of the way the Lord can revive our hearts. So when you read the Lord's Word, what do you look for? Revival. Come alive. That would be the best thing. I mean, many of us look at Chinese New Year, tired and old already. Why? Why are we so old and tired? We look at it, not another kueh lapis, not another love letter, and not another kueh dengkau. I mean, we all can look at it so tired out already. Don't. Seriously, look forward to something as special, something new, revival. And once you find that revival in body, in mind, in spirit, then everything is just fresh and wonderful. Well, thank God for the way in which He brings revival to the hearts. And the Lord sends revival to me in very wonderful ways. And sometimes it is a friend, sometimes it is a meal, sometimes it is through funny things that you experience along the way. And to my horror, I say, what are you doing? What are you putting your hand on my heart for? And she was just trying to say, it's your heart that matters. I just can't get over it. Here's a total stranger putting her hand on my heart. And whatever it is, they've got good stuff there. Well, think about these things and may your heart be revived, seriously. Well, let's give thanks together. Our Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. And we pray that you would teach us how we can truly pray for bountifulness for the year ahead of us. Help us to not be afraid to ask for this, because it is something that we may do. And we pray that you would help us above everything else, to go beyond the physical, material life to the deeper, more wonderful spiritual realm. That you will open our eyes and we will behold wondrous things out of your law. We pray for your blessings. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.